And we have this really great privilege to have Rabbi Simon, who's first with us. Rabbi Simon, is it possible for you to move the camera down a little bit so we can see? That's good. That's perfect. Perfect.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
But
so Rabbi Simon's been with us for so many years at this point. So we were talking about what type of topic to do, and Rabbi Simon said, "Well, coming back to shul, we should certainly have in mind the kedushas beis haknesses, what it means to come back to shul, to be able to reignite what the sanctity of shul is about." So that's our topic today. We certainly want to thank a very special sponsors, the Matchnikov, Atlas, and Muller families, for sponsoring Rabbi Simon's summer series today, in memory of their beloved husband and father, Phil Matchnikov. We remember Phil very fondly, very vividly. And so I think Zahava's on today. Thank you. We'll express our gratitude to your entire family this morning. Rabbi Simon, with no further ado, we give it over to you. Kedusha Space Akinesis this morning.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much, Brishus Amor de Asra, Rabbi Palakov, Brishus Rabbi Lichter. It's always a real chus to be here on the summer, and even though I'm not physically in Great Neck now, but I always feel connected. In fact, I had the occasion to be on the phone the other week with Rabbi Shalom Axelrod, and we were reminiscing, you know, how it already, you know, how this whole program evolved many, many years ago. And it's always it's a pleasure to come here, you know. So even though we're not mamish here, but we're connected, and it's a very special thing. So, and especially now with, you know, these difficult times, you know, hopefully things are on the mend, but it's still not back to, you know, total normalcy, and we still, you know, pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everyone, you know, should be well. And even though now in New York things are getting better, hopefully, but still other states in America that are not on that, you know, stage yet. So we hope and we thank the sponsors, you know, for sponsoring the shiur. And I mentioned also my father was nifter during this time. So Zeche Nishmas Avi Mori, Yaakov Yisrael Pilchas, Daniel Shein, about Siv Shua Falak, and all the sponsors that who are here today. Okay, so let us begin with this discussion of Kedushas Beis Knesses. It's a fascinating topic. And there is a mitzvah in the Torah of v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti besocham, that there's a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash. That's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. Bez Hashem, we should be zochel to have this mitzvah back one day, to be able to fulfill this mitzvah, to build a Beis HaMikdash. Mitzvah d'oraisa, to build a Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara in Megillah says that Bate Knesios, Bate Midrashos are Mikdash Ma'at. A Beis Knesses is a miniature Beis HaMikdash, Mikdash Ma'at. So the Zohar HaKadosh, the way some pointed out, is saying that included in the mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash is to build a shul in the community. That's also included in V'asuli Mikdash. So what does that mean? So let me tell you what it means. What it means is the following. You know, there are a lot of, as we've seen in the recent past, there are a lot of different venues that one could daven. You know, you're a nice guy, you'll give out your backyard. In the olden days, people will give their basements. Now, that's not the preferred way. People, you know, the backyard scenario. But it's not a Beis Knesses. So even though we could facilitate that davening could be taken care of in various different places, in yards and parking lots and you name it. This and we could, you know, keep going like this, so to speak. But still, there is a mitzvah of having a shul in the community. A shul means that it's a makom that's miyuchad for tefillah. In other words, the backyard, you know, the person is gracious enough to give his backyard or his basement or his living room or whatever he wants to give, but it's not miyuchad for tefillah. It's not a place that's miyuchad for tefillah. It's a place, a venue to daven, but it's not a base knesses, because a base knesses has to be a place that's miyuchad for tefillah. That's its purpose. And if it's not so set aside for davening, then it's not a base knesses. You could still daven there, unless it's not something that's inappropriate, as maybe we'll discuss later. But there's still a mitzvah to have a base knesses in the community. And in fact, the Tosefta in Bava Metzia says that we tax the community, that everyone has to give some money towards this goal of having a base knesses in the community. And the Gemara tells us that that's a tremendous important part of the community, and that is something that there is an obligation to have in every community. I remember there was one community that for many years they used to daven in the gym. There was a day school there, and the place where did they daven Shabbos morning? In the gym, because that was a nice spacious room. And that's where everyone would daven until they were able to raise money and build a shul in that community. But I remember one of my classmates was always telling me, "Where do you daven Shabbos morning?" "I daven in the gym." The gym could be a fine place, but and in your shul you even have a gym. But that's not called davening in a base knesses, because it's not miyuchad. It's not set aside for tefillah. So if it can function as a place to davening, it's a spacious place, and even if you need social distance, that could be a very possible place. But it's not a Beis Knesses, and you will not have fulfilled the mitzvah if you would just have a gym. So eventually, this community was able to get its act together and raise the funds to actually have a shul, because the gym would not be a fulfillment of that mitzvah. And it has a special kedusha. A shul has special kedusha. Now there is a beis knesses and there's a beis medrash. A beis medrash is a place where it's set aside for learning. A beis knesses is set aside for davening. In big shuls, unfortunately, the attendance on Shabbos is much greater than the attendance during the week. So people always grew up in big shuls where the big sanctuary would be called the Beis Knesses, and then the weekday place where they would daven, they would call that the Beis Medrash. Now that has no halachic bearing. In other words, somehow they made up those terms, that this is the Beis Knesses and this is the Beis Medrash. Those are, I don't know who was the first one to make up that term, but all the big shuls always had that construct. The big sanctuary, the Beis Knesses, and then, that's the weekday place where we daven, that's the Beis Medrash. That has no halachic significance, because the Beis Medrash is a place where people are sitting and learning throughout the day. And that's a base measure. Just because the shul doesn't, the weekday minyan is much smaller than the Shabbos minyan, and we have a smaller location, and we call it base measures, has no halachic significance. So when we speak about the discussion whether a base knesses or a base medrash has to put on a mezuzah, so the Shulchan Aruch says a base knesses doesn't have to put on a mezuzah, because people don't live there. It's not a place for residence. Like Rav Abadi always says, you need a makom dira for a base knesset. Unless in the old days, the shamus used to live in the shul. You know, when I was growing up, we still had that concept of a shamus. You know, you had the rabbi, and they had the chazan, and they had a shamus. Shamus was usually a European Jew who was usually very learned, but didn't speak too much English, so he wasn't going to be the rabbi of the shul. And he was the balkore, and he took care of the lulav and the esrogim and the matzahs and the wine and the yortzeit cards. And so in my day, he didn't live in the shul. But back in the time of Chazal, these people would live in the shul. So then there would be a real dira in the shul itself. But today, that we don't, no one lives in the shul usually. Maybe sometimes the custodian might live, but then that wouldn't necessarily have a chiyuv mezuzah for his dira. Could be not. But that was. So a base knesset is a place where it's set aside for davening. A base medrash says aside for learning. So the Shulchan Aruch says a base knesset doesn't need a mezuzah, but a base medrash, there are two opinions. One opinion in the Shulchan Aruch says a base medrash does need a mezuzah, but the Shach says only if it's a base medrash that people are basically there throughout the day. And then it's similar to a makom dira, even though no one lives there, but since people are spending a good part of the day, like in the yeshiva, there's a beis medrash, so hopefully the beis medrash is being used most of the hours of the day, so that's similar to a residence. And therefore, one could put a mezuzah up there. Now, a beis knesset, our minhag is that we put up a mezuzah in a beis knesset also, even though it's not really required. But that's, we do that in a lot of places that are not really required, because that's just the way the world is. You know, like if you have a catering hall and you wouldn't put a mezuzah, probably no one would want to, make their affairs in your, they just wouldn't, doesn't look Hamish enough, you know what I mean? But Lamai says, or Rav Abadi pointed out, it's not a makom dira, so it wouldn't necessarily be needed, but people do that, so hence people put it up in the base knesset as well. And okay, so be it. And the base medrash is a base medrash. We're not talking about the base medrash just by name, but a base medrash people are using it throughout the day, even though it's not a residence, but it's similar to a residence. Now, and the Gemara says we paskin that a base medrash has a higher level of Kedusha than even a Beis Knesset. You know, it's a higher level of Kedusha. That's why some people, the Gemara says in Brachas, would dafka want to daven in the Wat, in the Beis Medrash, because it was where they actually learned. The Gemara says that you can make a Beis Knesset into a Beis Medrash, but you can't make a Beis Medrash into a Beis Knesset, because you can only go higher up in Kedusha and not lower down. But okay, but Lemaisa, if you have a nice community and you want to daven in the Beis Knesset, so that's a great place to daven, provided that you feel that it's safe, and hopefully soon everyone should feel their Beis Knesset is a healthy, safe place to daven. Hopefully that time should come in sooner than later. But okay, but that's, it has Kedusha. That's why the Gemara says we don't make Kapandaria, we don't make a shortcut. We don't make a shortcut into the, if you have to go through the Beis Knesset, So to go from one place to the other, so you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't use it as a shortcut. That's considered a lack of kavod for the Beis Knesset or for the Beis Medrash. You should go around. Some people, there's even an opinion that says that in the shul itself, sometimes you have the bima, where you're laying in the middle, and say you want to go from the left to the right in the shul, and you want to walk through the through the where the bima is, you know, and used instead of going around within the shul itself. There are poskim that say that that's also not considered a proper thing. That's also considered because that part of the shul has even a higher level of kedusha, and you shouldn't walk through the. You know, usually when the beam is a little bit raised, then you have the Kriyas HaTorah there. So even when the Kriyas HaTorah is not going on, to walk through that area to go from one part of the shul instead of going around, that would be the way to do it, and not going through the bima to get from one part of the shul to the other part of the shul. I believe the Makor Chaim has that stringency as well. The Gemara tells us in Brachos that ki beso, Rav Shecht always likes to say from Rav Soloveitchik that he always would quote that Gemara, that you have to have at least the respect that you would have for your own home in the shul. Ki beso. So just like in the beso you wouldn't spit or things like that, so to the shul as well. And one thing that Rav Shecht always says over, I believe, from Rav Soloveitchik, is that that to wear, in the winter months when people come to shul with boots and rubbers and things like that, so Rav Soloveitchik thought that that was, when somebody comes to your house and where they're wearing boots and rubbers, they as soon as they come in, they take it off. They don't start, walking around the house with in the winter months with boots and rubbers. It's not considered respectful to the house, etc. So to Rav Shechta says over in his sefer from Rav Soloveitchik that he was also makpid that one comes to shul, he should also take the rubbers off before he walks into the main sanctuary, because that's also the proper respect for a shul. Is ki beso is, at least what you would do when someone would walk into your home. And that's where the Gemara says, just like in your home, it wouldn't be proper if somebody would come into your house just to, they want to get from one side of the street to the other, to use your house as a shortcut. So to those stand. Now, it doesn't mean the shul has more, a higher level, but at least it shouldn't be lower than ki beso. Like the house, but the shul has even a higher level. I'll tell you an interesting thing that we probably never think about. But the shul has part of Hilchos Beis Knesses is an iser of. Now this you'll be shocked when I tell you this, that this the halacha of a shul is that sicha b'teila is usher in a shul. So what do I mean by that, sicha b'teila? I'm not talking about lashon hara. I'm not talking about something like that. That's also even outside the shul. Sicha b'teila is idle talk. And meaning like this. And it was just a schmooze with a person. Say you finished davening, you're folding up the talis, you're getting ready, and then you're just speaking to your neighbor, which is... I would say in a shul that wouldn't have that, that would be something wrong with the shul, that the people don't speak to each other. So I would hope when the shul is over, after Adon Olam and everyone's around, you say, Good Shabbos, how are you, how's the family? That's that would be, proper etiquette in a good, healthy shul, that people have good relations. Yet, the halacha is that that's usher. You're not allowed to do that in a shul. You're not allowed to have sicha. In fact, the Arizal wouldn't even give a drasha in a shul, in the shul itself, because he was afraid that in the course of the drasha he would say something that's sicha b'teila. So the question is, so why do we allow this? And I would say not only we allow it, but I would think that in a normal shul we would even encourage. We would want people to say Good Shabbos, how are you, how everything, right? After we're not talking about the davening, we're not talking during Kriyas HaTorah, we're not talking about during the rabbi's drasha. It's over. Shul's over. schmooze. Okay, you make your way down to the Kiddush. Yet we probably would want it, we would encourage it, but yet the halach is that it's prohibited. So what's the heter then? If it is prohibited, it's sicha betela is prohibited in shul. So the answer is like this, that we assume that the shuls were constructed conditionally, al hatnai. The shuls are constructed al hatnai, which means that we're going to allow a certain measure of relaxed law of what technically is prohibited, and since it was made conditionally, we're going to allow that to be permitted in the shul. That the Beis Knesses is asuya al hatnai. So what's wrong with that? So that's the answer. That's the answer. As Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says, that's the answer. But the question is like this, in Shulchan Aruch it doesn't say that. In Shulchan Aruch it says that there's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in Megillah and elsewhere, that the halacha is that a shul has kedusha when the shul is functioning. When the shul is functioning, I don't mean during davening. I mean the shul is a functioning shul, and now it's between hours. It has kedusha. And then it also has kedusha after the shul no longer is functioning. Say the shul now is going out of business, and then they're going to see what to do with it. But the shul is out of business now. It's no longer going to function as a shul anymore. Still, the halacha is that it has kedusha, unless there's ways of removing kedusha, etc., through the Zayit Tuvei Ha'ir, etc. But the shul has kedusha. So the Tosus' opinion is that the concept that a tanai, a condition, could work to relax the rules of a shul only is when the shul is dysfunctional. But when the shul is still functional, then what? Then a condition does not help. And therefore the regular rules cannot be relaxed. That's Tosa's opinion. Rashi disagrees in Megillah, and he says no, that even when the shul is a functioning shul, I'm not talking about during the davening, but the shul is still an active shul, the tanai could work. So it's a machlokas Rashi and Tosa's, when the concept of making a condition to relax the rules only applies when the shul is not functioning, or even it is. And in Shulchan Aruch we paskin, like Tosfos, that only if the shul is a dysfunctional, meaning a shul that no longer serves as a shul, but still has kedusha until something is done to sell it or something like that, it still has its kedusha. And there you can make a condition. But when the shul is still a functioning shul, then the condition can't work. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. So to say that we rely on this opinion that the shul is made conditionally, that's why after davening, halavai should only be after davening, but that's why after davening we go ahead and we talk, we schmooze, etc. That's permissible because of the condition. But the question is, but that's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch says you could only make the condition when the shul is not functioning anymore. So how does this help us now? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a monumental tshuva in Igros Moshe. Where he said, and I'll tell you what he says, and I'll tell you the context of what he speaks about. And the tshuva says that basically sometimes in halacha, and this has to be taken very delicately, and that Minhag Yisrael was not to follow the view that the Shulchan Aruch paskin like. Now, this could open up a Pandora's box to say, therefore, everything goes. So you need someone of that caliber, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, to say that, okay, this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, but Minhag Yisrael is to follow this other opinion in the Rishonim that says that you can make it, a tanai is is chal even for a situation where the shul is, is still functioning, like Shitas Rashi. And that, he says, is Minag Yisrael. And Minag Yisrael is to do that. And that explains why we're allowed to, speak to our neighbor. Again, we're not talking about during the davening, but after the davening. And as I said, if you wouldn't have that in the shul, there would be something majorly wrong in the shul itself, that no one wants to speak to anybody or schmooze with anybody, etc. So that's what he writes. So now what's the context that he says this? So you know what the context he says? This tshuva that Rav Moshe wrote was written to Rav Pinchas Teitz from Elizabeth, New Jersey. And the tshuva was about a famous topic that came up that still theoretically could come up. And that is whether to allow seeing eye dogs coming into the shul for blind people. And this was big issue. And this went to court, and it was a big issue because the question is, to have a kelev come into the shul, is that proper covered for the shul to allow, even though it's for the door, it's for the blind person, etc., would this be permissible or not? And this is a big question that many poskim have different opinions back and forth on this topic. But Rav Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion that that once we assume that the Minhag Yisrael is to assume that the shuls are made conditionally, and we don't follow, as we said before, what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that the condition can only work when the shul is dysfunctional, but the condition works even when the shul is functional. So therefore, and that's the Minhag Yisrael, to be permitting, to schmooze after the shul, etc. So he feels that the letting in a seeing eye dog is on that level, and therefore once we're makel to allow talking in shul, meaning in the proper times to talk, you could even allow the dog in as well. And that was his, psak, and that it was his way. And he says this became, the minug in the shtiebels, where they have many, shtiebels in places where don't have a big sanctuary, things like that. They'll even have the shalashudas. Eating in the shul is also a prohibition. Eating to have a kiddush, to even have a tikkun, what people would have on the yurt site. So all these things are on the same level of Sikha B'Teila, and we permit all these things. Minhag Yisrael is in a shul that, doesn't have many rooms, but it's, more of a Beis Medrash type of situation. People have a little tikkun, or they'll make the siyum on Erev Pesach there. It's a big shul, you have a lot of rooms and different, you go to different rooms. But even, so that became permissible, so therefore he thought that that the seeing eye dog is on that same madrega, and therefore it could be permissible based on this same heter. But you have to realize that there's a limit, that even if you say a shul could be made with condition, and the condition could be effective even in when the shul is a functioning shul, but once it gets out of hand, then the Gemara says, like if you could have a chves, you want to have a carnival. So that's not just like eating a little shalashudas. That's like a whole fest, a whole carnival. You want to make a boutique to sell pocketbooks and different things that people do in shuls that have different boutiques and things, to do it in the main sanctuary itself. Even if we permit a condition, that's beyond the pale. In other words, there's a limit to how far a condition could be effective for. Even if you say that you can make a condition, and even if you say the condition could be valid even during the time that the shul is a functioning shul. So it's not, and that's a question of, people, because the shul usually is a room that is spacious, and sometimes, You know, so one has to know where to, you know, draw that line. Certain things, like Chavez, you want to have a Purim carnival, so you'll you know, move away the things, you know, things that, you know, sometimes people might think to do in the sanctuary because it's a spacious area. That wouldn't be allowed. I mean, you know, there's a question about getting married in shul. It was always a big question, but the main question of getting married in the shul was because that was chukas akum. That was something that people would get married in the church. So therefore, and you don't realize how strict in Hungary this was. The Rabbanim basically put a ban on getting married in the sanctuary of a shul. And apparently it didn't, you know, it started in Hungary, but it's interesting that even other Rabbanim, like Rav David Lifshitz Zatzal, was not a Hungarian Rav, he was a Rav in Suwalk, and yet apparently that traveled in the European rabbinate, you know, not to allow a chuppah to take place in a shul, not to allow it, because that was more from the perspective of chukas akum, non-Jewish practice. In fact, Reb David Lifshitz wouldn't attend, I was told, weddings of his own talmidim in the sanctuary of a shul. He would never go to a wedding that the chuppah took place in the sanctuary of the shul. And it wasn't only him. You know, he was a European Rav that, you know, was in the YU community, so people know about him. But it was they signed the Kol Kore of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Rabbanim, and that was very accepted psak. And basically, Moshe Feinstein in America wrote a tshuva permitting it, and that was like a major leniency that he put in America, which, you know, was not the general accepted opinion in Europe, but since he said it, and based on who his stature was, it it's at least the people who are the European, you know, and Hungarian still, even in America, won't follow this leniency, and will make only have a chuppah, you know, in a hall, or even if they have it in the shul, not in the sanctuary of the shul. It's interesting, if you look in the Mariel, and the custom in Germany was to have chuppahs in shuls. That was the practice. You'll see in the Mariel, they did that all the time. So what's the idea? So one of the big Hungarian rabbanim, the Maria Sad, says that the idea is that the Gemara says, the Chazal tell us that in the time of the Avos, they would bring sacrifices on a matzeva, right? And then it was changed. Matzeva is one stone. You had one big stone. Mizbeach is you have small little multiple stones. So matzeva, right, the pasuk says, Lo sasa lecha matzeva asher sonei Hashem alokecha. So Rashi says, what do you mean sonei Hashem alokecha? The Ovos did it. But even though the Ovos did it, but since it became a practice of Avodah Zarah, we have to relinquish it. So what does that mean? That Maria Sad explains like this. If the Goyim are going to start putting on tefillin, we'll still put on tefillin. They can't usurp our mitzvahs. If they're going to start shaking lulav, we'll still shake lulav. But if something that's not just a practice, but it's not a a obligation to do it in this way, and they start doing it as part of their religion, then we have to stop doing it. That, and that's what Chazal, that Rashi says in Chumash, that the Ovis used to bring karbanos on a matseva, on one stone, and then the goyim started doing it, lavodah zarah, so now we have to stop. We have to stop. We have to relinquish. So the same thing he says over here, and Rav Moshe was still permitted it, etc. But that was, interesting issue. Getting back more now to the kedusha of shul, we know the Aron Kodesh, as we said, has a special level of kedusha, and there's a whole discussion about living on top of a shul. You know, especially if you have in the yeshiva, sometimes they have the dormitory above the Beis Medrash. I remember I was in one yeshiva, and I remember in Eretz Yisrael, I was in this yeshiva, and I saw that the Aron Kodesh was like not symmetrical to the, you know, usually the Aron Kodesh is symmetrical to the room. You know, it's centered. And here it was like off to the side, and I like looked weird. And I inquired, "What's why is the Aron Kodesh off to the side?" And so someone explained to me because the dormitory is on top, and some of the opinion that there's a question about living on top of a shul. So even if one wants to permit that, but try not to live on top of the. To sleep on top of the Aron Kodesh. So they made sure that where the dormitory beds were, that the Aron Kodesh would be pushed and put on the side of the Beis Medrash, so it wouldn't be where any of the yeshiva students would be sleeping. And this is the opinion of the Rambam in the Tshuva. The Rambam has Tshuvas HaRambam. You know, besides the Mishnah Torah, he has Tshuvas. People often have a question of the validity and the veracity and the reliability of the Tshuvas HaRambam. Rav Shechter once mentioned, like, Rav Lichtenstein once asked a question in Shir from the Tshuvas HaRambam, and Rav Soloveitchik just, you know, dismissed it. You know, the Tshuvas HaRambam, that's not, we don't give that to, you know, full credibility, the Tshuvas HaRambam. I once had the guts in the YU library. I once saw Rav Soloveitchik's son, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik. So I went over to him and discussed what he thought of the reliability and the authenticity of the tshuvas of the Rambam. And he said he didn't think there's any reason to question it. I said, "What about your father?" He said, "Oh, my father knew the ones that the Kesef Mishnah quoted." You know, but that's a question. But in halacha, Tshuvas HaRambam is quoted, and is taken. Rav Avad Yosef's son, Rav David Yosef, wrote a beautiful edition where he wrote extensive footnotes on the Tshuvas HaRambam. But there are many halachas that are based on the Tshuvas HaRambam that are not found in the regular Rambam, in the Mishnah Torah, and we generally do accept the Tshuvas HaRambam. So even though, you know, in the Tshuvas HaRambam, it doesn't sound like the same person who wrote the Mishnah Torah. You know, it's a different. You know, but neither does the Mor Nevuchim. You know, sound like the same person who wrote the Mishnah Torah. But nonetheless. What can I tell you? These things were accepted. You know, the Aron Kodesh has special kedusha. We know that, you know, when we come to the shul, we come to the Torah. There's a big question, you know, when people now are taking out Sifrei Torah to have minyanim in backyards and in places like that. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that you're not supposed to take out. You're not supposed to take out a Sefer Torah to to outside, because you're supposed to come to the Sefer Torah, not the Sefer Torah come to you. Right, Kuf Lamed Hey. Look in Shulchan Aruch Sim Kuf Lamed Hey. I think Yud Gimel Yud Dalet and Kuf Lamed Hey talks about people who were in the Beis Hasurim and they don't bring a Sefer Torah for them. But the Bir Halacha there says if you have a minion of people, you have a minion of people, so that the minion of people you can bring to a minion of people. In other words, if you have one person who needs it because he's in jail or something like that, and then people, they'll bring the Sefer Torah, they'll bring a minion to him, that you shouldn't do. But if you have a minion of people who need it, who for some reason can't go into the shul, then the Bir Halacha permits taking out a Sefer Torah for that. But it's a question, you know, when is it appropriate to take out a Sefer Torah? Like people sometimes in some communities at Simchas Torah, they take the Sefer Torah out and dance in the street. And, I think Rav Avadi Yosef has a truva permitting it, but it's not a simple matter, because usually the halacha is that, you know, as respect, you go to the Torah, not bring the Torah to you. But as I told you, the Bir Halacha has a leniency when there's 10 people who need the Torah to them, etc. So Rabotai, so just to review, we talked about some interesting halachas, that there's a mitzvah to have a shul in a community. It's not enough just to have a suli mikdash. Says the Zohar is not only the base of mikdash, but it's to have a shul. And the Tosefta above Metzia says we even can tax the community to have money to build a shul. And a shul has to be something that's miyuchad for tefillah. In other words, if you have a basketball court in the shul, in the building, and you have a minion there, that's not called, davening in shul. Now, sometimes shuls are so big that they can't fit everyone, especially in the Yom Noraim. So, you have to, figure things out. And the shul has kedusha, and and the Gemara says you have to treat a shul at least with the respect of your home, and you can't use it as a shortcut. You can't even speak sicha b'teila, even idle chatter in the shul, you can't. The only reason we permit it is because we follow the opinion that says that shuls can be made conditionally, that are made conditionally, and even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that's only when the shul is dysfunctional. Rav Moshe said we follow the shitas against the Shulchan Aruch, that it can be used, the Tanai can be used even when the shul is functional. That's why Rav Moshe permitted to Rav Teitz to have a seeing eye dog in the shul. But even if the shul is functioning and you made it conditionally to allow certain things, but there's a limit of what you could allow. You can't, things that are totally frivolous and things like that would not be permissible. We said that one should try not to sleep on top of the Aron Kodesh, the question, right, according to the sheet of the Rambam and the Tshuva. The tefillah should be b'chutz. If the tefillah is b'chutz and you have to bring out a Sefer Torah, so that was a question. We had the Bir Halacha that permitted it because the minyan needs it, and you shouldn't bring it for a tzarech of a yachid, but to bring it for the tzarech of a tzibur would be permissible. And we know that the Gemara says in Megillah, one day all the Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos and Chutz La'aretz are going to end up in Eretz Yisrael. But I'll tell you one last thing. The Gemara says, the Kedushas Levi writes, it's not in the Sefer Kedushas Levi, it's in a different Sefer, says that the Jewish homes also are going to be put in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning that you might think, the Chiddush is like this, the Jewish homes, we're most of the day in home, now we're most of the day in the shul. The Chiddush is even the shuls that we're not there most of the day will be. But the Jewish homes, that for sure, it's going to go Be'ez Hashem one day to replant in Eretz Yisrael, provided that the home is a home of Kedusha. And that's something we have to be cognizant of, what we let in the home. Our home should be a home that a person walks in, he feels holiness in the home. He feels Kedusha in the home. And that's the atmosphere that we let in the home and how we mechanech our children. And that's a much longer topic, But since we're a little bit going over time, so again, I want to thank the sponsors. I want to thank Rabbi Polakoff, Marad Asra, and Rabbi Lichter, and all the people that are here. And it's always a pleasure. This is more than a chazaka many times over, and it's a big schus to be here. And I yearn for next summer that I actually could come to your shul like I normally do and actually see you and greet you personally. But for the time being, I wish you all well. I wish you good health for everyone and your families and all the Klal Yisrael and all the world that needs gesund. And it should all be on the things should be getting better. And Bez Hashem, we should one be zoche to all the Bate Knesios, Bate Drashos, and the Jewish homes to be replanted in Eretz Yisrael, b'mheira v'yameinu.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi Simon, Rosh Yeshiva. We always are inspired by your words. We also look forward to seeing you in person next year, Bez Hashem, if not before then. But we thank you very much. Zahava and Mike, we thank you and your families, all of the Mashkoff and the Atlas families, for sponsoring in memory of Dad Phil and Bez Hashem. We should see bracha and hatzlacha and kedusha.
And I remember the days that Phil was always an attendee of this year. He always was there every single year. And it was something always special to be able to come and see him. And Michael and Zahava, I know very well, Talmud of mine. So it's very special to be part of the Zikaron of their father.
Special guys, special friends.
Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful day. Bez Hashem, next Sunday we will have Rabbi David Hirsch. We hope to see you again at 9:30 in the morning next Sunday. Have a great day.
Okay, call to
Pesach Shmuel.
I don't remember that being like that.
No, I'm sorry, I'm fuzzy. One second. His mother's name was
his father's name.
Father
Zev Wolf.
Oh yeah, Zev Wolf.
I'm sorry. I have a lot of names jumbled.
Right.
Okay.
Great person your father was. Great person.
Yes, he was.
Shemesh Avaliyah.
Amen.
You all so much.
Okay, call to.
We're thinking about him today. Today, Liat's getting married.
Mazel Tov.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here on such a busy day for you.
Never too busy for the match.
Bye-bye.
Mazel Tov.
Okay.
What was the exact date of the yard site? What's the date of the yard site exactly?
2 Tammuz, Tefa.
I didn't hear you. Tov. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
That was in Israel.
I did Tuesday.
Right. Shalom Shabbat Aliyah.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you.
Orly's not moving a muscle there, I see.
What?
Orly's not moving a muscle. She has a picture, that's why.
Okay.
Simon.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Usually Erev Shabbos.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay. Good to see you all.
And Rabbi Teitz, I knew very well, and arguably in the 60s and the 70s, he was the most powerful rabbi in America.
Yeah. Okay.
As a matter of fact, I had a store on the east side.
What's your name? Who was speaking?
Aaron Moshe Kirsch.
Okay.
I go to Daf Yomi with Rabbi Goldstein, whom you know very well,
Aaron. Yeah, sure.
Okay. So, which is the fifth go around Moshe.
Good.
Rebbetzin used to be given a Chrysler Imperial limousine, asked the Chrysler, as a Salarim from Mitzaya car. That's how powerful he was in America.
Yeah.
She would come with a limousine to meet to the east side to pick up a couple boxes for our bazaar.
Okay.
Here on the right way, we're down to the corner.
Yeah.
So,